This meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome to IDN Guidelines Working Group call on 6th of July 2017. We have Mats, Edmund, Satish and Sarmad on the call. So over to you, Mats.
Thank you. And last time we were discussing the comments from RYFT, RISID group, and we were at the end. So let's see how far up, how far down we.
So we were in the middle of RYSG 9. We did not conclude that. So we said we will continue next time.
Right. Right. We were discussing the term same registrant. And then.
So that part was done, and then we moved on to RYSG 9.
That was done, yes. And actually, they guideline 12 should be further clarified by stating that a registry operator must publish the variant activation policy in its public website. So actually, this is not about guideline or recommendation 12. This is more like a general comment that they make,
right.
I find it a good suggestion that we state that it should be. A public policy.
Right, and I think last time everybody generally did agree with that. But I think it was probably you who suggested that this may actually be posted as a separate recommendation. But that's something we had not finalized. So I think one of the things we could probably also discuss is whether if we want to include it, whether it should be posted as a separate recommendation or as part of an existing recommendation.
Yes. So my suggestion is that we keep the recommendations short, and if things can be split up into two recommendations, it's better to do that because then it's easier to point into a specific recommendation. And I mean, you should do that because it's stated in recommendation with a certain number. So my suggestion is that we create a recommendation 12B, just preliminary. We then renumber, but right now, a 12B that states that the registry operator, I don't know if we should use the term registry operator, but preliminary, that the registry operator must publish the variant activation policy in its public website.
Just a comment.
Yes, please.
Instead of doing it as 12A, is it possible to do it separately? Because since we're talking about not just the variant, we're talking about a variant activation policy as well, and we talk about activation in guideline 13. So it may actually be applicable both to guideline 12 and 13. So doing it as 12B may just keep it a very, So I guess the question is, do we want to only talk about variants or we also want to talk about variant activation? And if it's only about variants, then maybe 12B will be fine. But if you talk about variants and their activation, then maybe it's a separate recommendation which can point to both guideline recommendation 12 and 13.
Right. My idea was to just create a new recommendation and that we later decide its exact position. But it might be more reasonable to put it after 13 as 13B. And I think, I mean, the suggestion from ARCIG is that it should be about a variant activation. So that's the recommendation. And if we should include more requirements, we could possibly do that. I mean, to state that there are more things that should be included in the public website. We have somewhere else where we state that the registry operator or the PLD registry should publish things on the public website, and that is when we if things are changed, the rules are changed. So in I think it's recommendation 5, we talk about requirement. So I don't know if we should make it into one recommendation general, or have a specific one about variants. Maybe it's better to have a specific one. And then 13B could be a good place. So, as a standalone item, yes, that's my suggestion for this, that we create a standalone recommendation to make it small instead of combining more things. Because when you point at the recommendation, it's better to have it short. It's easier for people to see, aha, okay, I'm required to have the activation policy on my website. So, Mark, please. You raised your hand?
Yeah, sorry, I was on mute. So I was going to suggest that we can put it in the variant section for now, and then I guess once we are reviewing it, we can go back and see whether we need to, combine multiple similar recommendations into a singular one and list all the cases or keep them separate. But I guess that can be done when we do the editing pass.
Yes, that's a good suggestion. So I suggest that we add this as 13B. I think that Satish says okay. I'm not sure if Edmund is really following, because he seems to be in another meeting at the same time. Maybe one ear for one meeting, another for the other meeting. So right, Edmund, not really. So we create this 13B that says the registry operator, have we used that term before? Let's see what we say in 5. See, in their registries we have talked about before. 13B, that the PLD registry must publish the variant activation policy in its public website. So we copy the text from the comment there. And then we go to number 10. And now we dive into Edmund says, I am agreeable to separate it into smaller chunks in general. Okay, that's good. So, Ken, the term Redis design approach should be defined in guideline 13, and the recommendation should be reworded for clarification. Second and third paragraphs should be removed or moved to a separate section and change must to should or may to make it an advisory. Okay, so this one, number 10, contains three things. The Redis design approach should be defined, that the second and third paragraph should be separated from the first, and then a change of must to should and may. Let's look at the first one. Redis design approach. Have we used that term before, or is this the first time we use it?
Yeah, this is a new term we've I think made up, and that's why it's being asked for further explanation.
Right.
So basically, the registry side approach means that if there are variants, registries can turn them on without asking the registrars.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just needs more clarification as far as RYSD comment is concerned.
Right, and I think that we should avoid the term Redis design approach, because it's a new term, and if we don't use it more than once or twice, it's better to describe what it is. So what we say is that IDN variants must only be activated on the request by the registrant. And maybe
right,
we should put a period there and say that the registry may have automatic activation of variants if it's explicitly expressed in the IDN policy for that particular language or script, or maybe that particular IDN table or something. Maybe that's not needed. Yes. Samar. Please go ahead, Samar.
Just to remind us, on our meeting on 1st of June, we had agreed to divide 13 in 13A and B. So 13A is going to be the first part, which says that IDN variant labels must only be delegated into the DNS as requested by the registrant or corresponding mm-hmm. registrar. And then 13B was the second part. So it was suggested that it be separated, where we are going to say that in cases where registry side approach, so that needs to be changed now, is explicitly expressed in the IDN policies and so on. So I think one thing we've already decided is that we're going to divide that into two different recommendations. And then I guess the second part of the recommendation then needs to be reworded. Thank you.
And so the way we divided then, I didn't remember the details. I remember that we split up, but then is that the first paragraph will then be split up.
So
that
right,
you talk
the
about
first
general case in 13A and then the exception in 13B.
Right, exactly.
And then in the 13B will then contain the last sub-sentence of 13 of the first paragraph, and then a lot of the text, maybe all text in the second paragraph.
Right. So the feedback from RYSG is that the second paragraph should be moved to somewhere else.
Yes, I see that, but I think it makes sense to but maybe that should be a 13C. Because that's a third thing. That's my suggestion. So 13A is most of the first paragraph. 13B is the last part of the first paragraph with the exception, but rewritten so we don't use the term registered side approach. And then 13C is the second paragraph. I remember that we had a discussion about the last paragraph, if that should really be kept or not. Please sum up.
Thank you. So I think the second paragraph here was written to qualify the exceptional case. So it really needs to be somehow tied with the second part or the exceptional case. If you just make it a third part, then I'm not really sure whether that that may actually cause redundancy. So that was one comment. The other one was, one option, of course, is that we can take this, summarize this as something like in the second recommendation, we say that, when registry policy, registry side approach is adopted, as it says in the first sentence in the second paragraph, the registry must carefully take into consideration the security and stability impacts and stop there and make that sentence part of the second recommendation. And then take the rest of it, reference to all those documents as like an end note or something to further explain what security and stability impacts mean. And I'm suggesting this based on, the RYSG comment, which suggests that large part of the second paragraph really needs to be moved out as it's an advisory so that's my suggestion. Thank you.
Thank you. I see two different things. I mean, the last part of the first paragraph, it tells a requirement of when you may have automatic activation. And then the second paragraph actually further adds more requirements if you have decided to have. So if you have fulfilled the requirement of having automatic activation, then these are further limitations that falls on you.
Right.
I think
so,
if we have, yes. Let me just finish. I could see that we could color off and make it shorter and remove the bulk of the second paragraph. I think we should keep it in the text as a part of a divisory or completely remove it. Adding it somewhere else does not make much sense because it really connected to this discussion. And we have already some text that tells what security and stability is. So we had that discussion before. Oh, yes, please go ahead, Samar.
Thank you, Mats. I guess it's referring back to something you just suggested, that there is some condition on registry side approach. I think the way we are saying it is actually unconditional. The only thing required for a registry side approach, at least in the current recommendation, is that the registry just decides to do it and publishes, I guess, its policy or makes it part of its policy. So there's really no, prerequisite to that. It's just an arbitrary decision which a registry makes. And I guess we are saying in that case, there are some security and stability considerations which should be taken in account in any case. But in any case, the registry side approach is purely arbitrarily left to the registries to decide, I think, at least in the current wording.
I think your comment there makes sense. I mean, we could make 13B as the requirements. You say that the registry may have automatic activation of aliens if there's a policy, if the security and stability aspects have been taken into consideration, and then they either choose to list security and stability impacts or factors, or just out. So then we have a combined 13B. Please note that in the second paragraph, that they must carefully take into consideration. So it doesn't say that they must do something. Satish says, I agree with Samar, there is no compulsion to follow registry side arrangements. Right. The only thing that they must do is publish the policy. So that's really mandatory as we have written it now, and also nobody has suggested that we should be more strict on that either. Should we just remove the bulk and say that they must publish a policy and they must take into consideration the security and stability impacts, period? Is that a good suggestion? What do you say, Satish? The first part is fine. And right, it should publish on the website. The question is, should we require them to look at security and stability issues or impacts? Please.
Right. So I think security and stability, of course, is important. But in this particular case, where you're actually turning on variants, you know, it's more of a operational challenge than a security stability challenge, because you have turn things on, and those, so downstream people would need to manage all the variants, and they must manage all the variants. It's not that the registrant has a choice here, therefore there's burden downstream on registrants and people who manage those systems for the registrants. I think there was some discussion around that, one would need to keep this automatic activation, you know, only in cases where it's needed, just because of those operational implications downstream. I think that somehow needs to be captured if we totally remove the second paragraph. You know, the relevant parts of that second paragraph, you know, it's in number five, for example, it does talk about the evidence, the operational experiences and things like that. That part gets lost. So I just wanted to point that out, that whether we want to, just say that registry side should just be arbitrarily decided by registries, or should they really take into consideration these additional impact on their registrants and downstream in that process? Thank you.
Thank you. So one question we should ask is, Does these security and stability impacts, are they just limited for those TLDs that have automatic activation or not? Probably not. The user experience, which is important, I guess. As you said, Samad. So,
To me, should we make the challenge is the operational overhead, actually, downstream, which should,
right,
because of which we need to keep a conservative approach, and somehow that needs to come out, I think, and that's not really coming out if we really take the second paragraph out.
So, you suggest that we keep the second paragraph, but it has a security stability approach, where it maybe should have a user burden approach instead.
Exactly. So, to me, when you make these variants, you know, you've already to some extent managed the security issues, because then these are not really going to different people. In this particular recommendation, we're specifically talking about activating those variants, which has a direct implication on operational overheads rather than anything else. It may actually have indirect security stability implications as well,
But I think the focus, we really do need to bring that out somehow in our recommendation. So I'm not suggesting we keep the second paragraph. We can take that away, but we at least keep the operational overhead part as a caution to those who are implementing it, suggesting that maybe this really should be done in a conservative way where, you know, there is operational experience and need by the community. I think that's where I was going. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think that the example with Chinese situation was to impose that conservative use of it, because I mean it's common in Chinese environment, but less used in other environments. So maybe we should park this, but note that we should rewrite. We should break off the second part of 13, first paragraph of 13, as we discussed, and then look at the second paragraph and see how much of that should be kept as advisory to those that choose to have automatic activation, and then the third paragraph should be just removed, I think. Does that sound good? Satish agree. So let's do that. Did you get that down, Samad?
Yeah, we have a recording, so I'll note that once I do the minutes.
Right. So, crawling faster than I want. The last part of their text is change must to should or may. We park that until we have written the update of 13. So we look at that. Hey, it's going faster. Then we have recommendation 15. The first sentence of recommendation 15 is confusing, as it is not clear if the guideline refers to cross TLD tables of the same registry, or to a single same TLD. The recommendation may not be workable, as one registry may have two or more TLDs in the same script, but directed as different languages, where variants must be handled differently. Likewise, two TLDs, one script-based and the other language-based, in the same script may have different variant tables. It seems that the only viable interpretation is that the draft guideline refers to one single TLD, in which case this should be clarified in the guideline. Okay. Yes. My interpretation is that we're talking about things under the same TLD. Otherwise, there's no risk if you have, or lower risk at least, if there are different TLDs. TLD registers. Okay, so we have to change that wording. The registry for a TLD must ensure that all applicable. Would that be more clear and not ambiguous. Any Ahmad?
So I would actually probably take TLD to the later part of the sentence. Something like registries must ensure that all applicable same swift ID and tables for a TLD, well, with a variant policy for a particular TLD have uniform variant rules. Something like that.
That's a good suggestion. I like that. I like that. I think that's better than my suggestion. Yes. Really, yes. So that was Satish accept that too, or likes that too. So we take your suggestion, Samad. That was a good one. So that's quite easy. Okay. Number 12. RISIG supports the view that IDN guidelines are not the right place for recommendations on registration data and EPP. And this goes down to section 2.8.
Yeah, 2.7 and 2.8.
2.8. So, okay, fine. Number 13, Edmund is typing, still not. Sorry,
just that I'm on, I'm off the other meeting and I can pay attention here, sorry.
Okay.
So long.
Yes, I didn't understand what you meant, but fine. Okay, so now we are on 13. It is suggested to replace word by label in the definition of variant. The term variant is used generally to identify different types of linguistic situations where different labels are considered to be the same, i.e. variant of another label. Because of the wide-ranging understanding of the term, to avoid confusion, more specific terms such as variant code point or variant IDN variant label should be used. Okay.
Right.
I'm not sure what where they.
So we use words where different words in line 5. So they're saying instead of that we should say where different labels are considered to be the same, and I think that's probably correct. We should change that.
Where is that?
In the definition of the variant, that's the last one on page 1. I don't know.
Okay.
If you look at the fifth line,
okay,
the first column is just variant.
They're quoting us. Okay. The term variant is used in different words are considered to be the same. Okay. Yes. We should use label. Right. And when looking at that, things that in the last column should, what is the idea of that? Other related terms. Okay. I think that the last, as they write it, the end of the definition there, it says, in our text, terms such as a code point. But shouldn't that be a variant label?
Edmund has his hands up.
Okay, Edmund, please.
Yeah. So I think in this specific instance, variant code point or item variant label is correct because this is trying to explain that in the past we keep using variants to mean very different things, and going forward with this guidelines and the terminology, one of clarify that, you know, we have IDN variant code point and IDN variant label. In fact, I just want to make one edit there, which is we should always start with IDN variant code point rather than just variant code point. But it should, both of them should be included in this particular definition, and then I think there is specific definition on each of them.
Okay. What I react on is that we say the term variant is used generally to identify different types of linguistic situations where different labels are considered. And then we talk about variant code point. It doesn't make sense. So in the beginning of the definition, we talk about variant as a string, or two strings. And then we talk about variant code point. I don't think it makes sense.
This Edmund jumping quickly in. So I guess we could just say label or code point to start with, and then, you know, end with that if that's a concern. Now I recall when I guess I first drafted it, that's the reason I used the word to keep it at a generic linguistic concept. But it's fine to say code point or, you know, label or in the beginning, and so that the end of the sentence of the paragraph would make sense.
Well, I mean, a word is definitely not a generic linguistic concept. I mean, it means something. And actually, what we are not talking about words. So I think that the word is not good. But if we say where different labels or code points are considered to be the same, then we, in the end, we can talk about variant, IDN variant labels or IDN variant code points. Do we, can we agree on that? Edmund, please.
Yes, I'm fine with it.
Okay. So that was the last comment of all comments. We have 9 minutes left. We should discuss how we should incorporate an answer. I think that we are expected to send an answer to each of them, right? Each party that has, yes. So we are actually expected to compose 5 answers. Yes, go ahead, Samar.
Actually, we should have a response against each of the itemized numbers. So not 5, but actually quite a few. 13 plus for RYSG and, you know, so we should, for example, have a separate response from for GOI1, GOI2, GOI3, RYSG1, RYSG2, and so on. So we need a separate response for each comment.
Can we write one document with a reply to all of them, or should it be 5 different documents?
Oh, it's a single document, but we refer to each one of those comments in that some analysis. That's the second part of the document.
Right. Yeah, okay. So we take this document and extend it with our replies, and so we can refer to what we reply on.
Exactly.
Right?
If I'm going to scroll down here. If you look at the second part, analysis of comments, that's the section we need to fill in, referring to each of the comments in the summary section above and giving a stating our response to it.
Okay. Okay. That's good. So that is one task. Edmund, please. Okay. Old hand. Okay. It's tiring to hold your hand up, right? And that's one task for us, and the other is to do an update of the guidelines. I'm not sure
right. In
which order we should do this. Maybe we should do the update of the guidelines first, because it might affect the responses. But we have if we complete the update of the guidelines first and then complete the responses. To a certain extent, we might start with responding. Okay. Yes, Samad.
I didn't have a hands up, but, you know, either way is fine, I think.
Yes.
So we can start with the document and then we come back to responses, sure.
Right.
Just a small query. Would you want me to do any work in the background? Prep work, or do you just want me to just keep recording minutes and that's all you need to do, you would want me to do at this time?
Yes, you may. We'd like you to do some preparatory work.
So what I can do is I can go to the discussions we've had and based on those prepare a tentative response to each of these comments, you know, while the working group is working on revising the guidelines, and then once we've revised the guidelines with the working group, I will also share the draft responses with all of you, and then we can go through the draft responses and make any further changes based on the feedback from the working group. Would that work?
So we have quite a number of places where we should do updates to the documents. I have to go back to the minutes to find out. So right now I cannot give tasks to us where to start working.
Edmund has his hand up, and I also would like to make a comment on this. Thank you.
Oh, hi, Edmund, please.
Yeah, sorry, back now. And I guess in terms of the background, we probably should, if Samad, you can help draft a response, as I think we need to create that as part of the process. And then also to take a first pass at editing in some, you know, all the points, either by way of inserting comments or actual texts that we discussed, and have a red line, and then we can further discuss. Perhaps, and that might be quite a bit of a job, and I wonder if we, it's based on that, maybe we should meet again in 2 weeks' time, so it gives you a bit more time to go through everything. That's my thought.
Samad, please.
Thank you. So, yeah, I've actually been maintaining an annotation version of this document. And it's quite up to date. Yeah, I just have to add annotations from last meeting and this meeting, which I can do reasonably quickly. So I actually have a document which, an updated document which lists which portion was discussed in which meeting and what was decided for that portion. I can share that annotated document with all of you, you know, within this week. That's not an issue. And maybe that's a place to start with the working group where they can look at the annotations as it points back to each meeting where it was discussed. Each comment, you can easily use that to go back to that particular meeting recording and notes to review what was discussed in more detail, though I summarize the discussion results in the annotation as part of a comment. So I think that part is already done. So we can continue to meet if we are going to meet on the document itself, and in parallel, I can draft the response. I guess I will start drafting the response in parallel, I'm saying, because when we are finalizing the document, we may actually be making additional comments, so I would want to capture that in the response as well. So I can do that in the background as we work on the document, but the document is ready for processing by the working group. I don't need more time for it. So I've already annotated it. Thank you. And I can share that on the mailing list within this week. So by the end of the week, I'll email it to everybody.
That's very good. Thank you very much, Samad. And I think that the answers to the respondents may also be affected by things that we discover when we do the revision of the document. So it's a two-way effect, I think. But that's very good. Edmund, please. You have your hand up. Okay. Old hand. Tired old hand. Okay, we are on the top of the hour right now. So, next week, we start discussing the annotated version of the guidelines, and try to have progress on the updates of that. Any last comment from anyone? Okay. Thank you very much, Samad. And talk to you next week. Hope that we get a few more people next week. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.